Glad to see everyone back here with us this evening. You will be turning with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Appreciate Rick leading our songs tonight. I understand that as a preacher, even though we're used to being in the pulpit, song leading is a completely different animal. And I appreciate Rick being able to do that on short notice tonight. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read together verses 18 through 22. It's been a while since we've done what we might call a character study on Sunday nights. And I was studying James over the week, and I really, really enjoyed that study. And we look at James, the son of Zebedee, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And we look in Matthew 4, beginning of verse 18, and we see that he answers Jesus' call here to begin. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, or immediately, left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So as we study together tonight, we're going to look at James the son of Zebedee, and we're going to look at different aspects of his life and his ministry and his apostleship, and then we're going to look and see how that might apply or what application you and I can make from that today. But first of all, number one, James the son of Zebedee answered the call of Jesus. Jesus called him to discipleship, called him to be his follower. And notice here in Matthew 4, 18 through 22, that he left some things, didn't he? He left his job, number one. He had told Peter and Andrew, you come with me, I'll make you fishers of men. We find in another passage that James and John and their father Zebedee were partners with Peter and Andrew. Look at Mark 1, 16 through 20. Mark 1, 16 through 20. We see the same call here. And then we'll look at the whole picture. Mark 1, 16 through 20. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Friends, what we see here is that when Jesus called James, when he called James, he left his job, he left his family, and he left earthly security. He left his job, he left his family, and he left earthly security. What does that tell us about the commitment that it takes to follow the Christ? It may cause us to have to leave some things behind to be able to follow him. And so when Jesus calls us through his word, there are some things we might have to leave behind, aren't there? Then we look at the call of James to the apostleship. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Look at verse 2. Begin to see here the names of the 12 apostles. They're now more than just disciples, aren't they? These are going to be men that are going to carry the truth throughout the world, and they're going to come upon them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there in Acts chapter, the end of Acts chapter 1 and the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And you see them then going and preaching the word as they're moved by the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. And you go on and you see the rest of them. And so we see him as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. Luke it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, notice this, they forsook all and followed him. They're here affirmed by Christ. They're going to be followers of him for the rest of their lives, for the rest of the life of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2, 3 and 4, the Hebrews writer writes there to the Hebrew people concerning this idea here of being affirmed of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2 verses 3 and 4 we read, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. What was the Hebrew writer telling us? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That we see all of these witnesses. Friends, you look at what is being spoken here, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by eyewitnesses, or as it were, ear witnesses. Those that heard him, those that sat at his feet, those that were with him every day, which included James, the son of Zebedee, a man that would go out and preach Christ Jesus. One chapter over in Hebrews 3 and verse 14 we read, For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What does this mean? We are partakers of Christ if, he says, we hold steadfast the confidence unto the end. The beginning of our confidence. Where does that come from? Those ear witnesses, right? Those that sat at his feet. Those that saw him. Those that touched him. Those that heard what he said upon this earth. Friends, we hear that. And as we read our Bibles, we get that at the feet of James, the son of Zebedee. As we continue to look at James and we look at his character, we see a man that for, it seems, a good part of his life had a short temper. You look with me at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And let's see what happens here. In Luke 9, Jesus has gone into a city of Samaria, and they want nothing really to do with Jesus. Let's start at verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now, friends, remember the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. They wanted nothing to do with this man that was a Jew at this point. They did not receive him, verse 53, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. They didn't want any part of that. They didn't want to help him along that way. Look at verse 54 now. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Now here Jesus has been preaching a gospel that talks of love, of one that is willing to help one another out. He's told a parable concerning the Samaritan, and here you've got two of his apostles. As a matter of fact, two of the men that were in the inner circle of Jesus Christ that want to destroy an entire city because they did not receive. Thought by now that have been used to this type of reception to some degree. Especially considering how the Pharisees and the Sadducees treated our Lord. But we don't see them asking to call fire down upon them. We see James, friends, as a man at this point that has let his anger get out of control. Jesus surnamed James and John in Mark 3 and verse 17, Boanerges, or Sons of Thunder. Sons of Thunder. And so these were men that at this point, James and John, were men that allowed their anger to get the better of them right now. But look at verse 55. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. In other words, this is not how you ought to be acting. This is not how my followers react to something like this. So Jesus had some more teaching to do with these men. And he would. He would continue to teach them. And so we see James as a man, as a mere mortal here, do we not? A man who has let his anger get out of control. It's much the same with Peter, is it not? Peter sometimes would allow his mouth to make promises that he himself could not keep. And so we see now these men that they're like us. And friends, that ought to be an encouragement to us. These things are recorded for a reason, for examples unto us, so that we can learn from them and better understand our Lord. We see James as well as being approximate to Christ. That is, he was always nearby. As I said a moment ago, James was one of the inner circle of Jesus' friends, if you will. And in Mark 1, 29-31, James and John were there at the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. It was Peter, James, and John that were there in Mark chapter 5 at the raising of Jairus' daughter. It was Peter, James, and John that were there in Matthew 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. If you remember in your studies of the Bible, Matthew 26, 36-46, as Jesus has gone into the Garden of Gethsemane, the other apostles are there as well, aren't they? But Jesus chooses three men to go a little further with him. Who are they? Peter, James, and John. These were his closest friends upon this earth. These are the ones that he was closest to. And we see James being around Jesus wherever he may go. He's close to our Savior. Go along with the human side and seeing how human James was, we see that he had a desire to be close to Christ, but friends, he also had aspirations of control. You look in Mark 10, beginning in verse 35, and you see James and John coming unto Christ and saying unto him, Lord, we want you to do something for us. Beginning of verse 35, we read of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming to him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. They have no idea what they're saying here, do they? They have no idea of the commitment that this is going to take. They don't have a clue. They're still thinking physically here, aren't they? They're still thinking that Jesus is here to raise up a physical kingdom upon this earth on the throne of David in Jerusalem. They don't understand the spiritual aspect of this kingdom as of yet. They will. But they don't know what they're making a commitment to here. But they said, we can. And Jesus said unto them, all right. Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. In other words, they oppress them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Friends, what we see here is even though James and John had aspirations of control, even though they didn't understand what they were asking at this point, Jesus is still going to hold them to that commitment, isn't he? He's going to show them that their character is going to have to be amended. They're going to have to, at some point, they're going to have to live down this name of Boanerges. We're going to have to live down this name of being the sons of thunder. They're going to have to become better men. And that's what Jesus tells them there in verse 39 when he says, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. You will be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. He's going to affirm the commitment of them and amend their character. We continue to see the growth of James. We see a man that is able in courage. Again, there in Mark 10 and verse 39, Jesus says, you shall indeed drink the cup. What does this mean? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed a prayer, right? And he asked the Father what? Let this cup pass from me. What's he talking about? He's talking about his death. He's talking about the things that he is about to suffer. So if the apostles, for the purpose of our study, namely James, are going to suffer or to drink of the cup that Jesus is going to drink of, that means, friends, that they're going to suffer and suffer mightily. They might even be killed for their trust and their faith and their preaching of Jesus Christ. So when he told James, you shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of, James did not know at that time that it meant his death. But that's what Jesus there is talking about. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and I want you to read with me verses 1 through 3. Now about that time Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Friends, what we see here is that it seems that Herod, notice that it says verse 1, he wanted to vex certain of the church. He didn't want to vex them all. He didn't want to get rid of all. Who is he going after? Going after the apostles. His targets were the 12, not the church as a whole. So he took James and he killed him with the sword, and it pleased the Jews. And so what did he do? I've got some fans behind me now. Let me go find Peter. Friends, James was the only apostle whose martyrdom is recorded. What we know of the martyrdom of the others, James, or John rather, was the only one to die a natural death. What we know of the martyrdom of the other apostles, we have to read about by tradition or secular history. And so we don't know exactly how accurate those things are. We're fairly certain that Paul was beheaded in Rome. We're fairly certain that Peter was crucified. Tradition says he was crucified upside down. I'm not sure how accurate that is. But here we have James going to his death professing Christ as Lord. He was one of these certain of the church. One that had one of those big targets painted upon his back, if you will, by Herod. And it cost him his life. He indeed drank of the cup of which Jesus drank. Friends, what can we learn from all this? What can we learn from James, the son of Zebedee? Friends, you think for a moment. And you go back to his initial call. What did James do when Jesus called him? He said, come and follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Did he hesitate? Did he wait? Did he say unto Jesus, allow me to help my father finish mending these nets? To finish washing these nets? Let me put my affairs in order. He didn't do all of that. The Bible tells us that when James was called, he left immediately. He left his father on the boat with the hired servants. And he went and followed Jesus Christ. What do we learn, friend? Friends, we learn that when we study our Bibles and we understand that Jesus calls us to obedience, we are to answer immediately. Someone says, well, you know, there are just some things that I've got to get right. I've got to change before I can obey the gospel. Friends, we can't do it on our own. Part of the reason that Jesus created the church, isn't it? We talked about that this morning. Why did God give us the church? Why does He command us to obey? Are these things for His benefit or for ours? For hours, aren't they? And so you and I have a support system in place because God gave us that. James left immediately. Friends, we must as well answer the call of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, we see the great invitation. Jesus said, all ye that labor, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does Jesus mean by that? The same Peter echoed those thoughts, right? His commands are not grievous. Friends, God calls us to obey. And as James did, we must answer the call. What else do we learn from James? We learn from his example here that we have to exercise self-control. Man was ready to destroy an entire village. What do we learn? What did Jesus say? That's not the right spirit. We have got to exercise self-control. Look at James. Look with me at James chapter 1. Now, this is James, the brother of Jesus. James chapter 1, 18 through 21, we read, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Exercise self-control, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. How did James get from Boanerges, son of thunder, to giving up his life in Acts chapter 12, 1 through 3? He finally came to the understanding of what it meant to have self-control. He finally came to the understanding of what it meant to make the Word a part of him. That's what James says there in verse 21, isn't it? Put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. What does it mean to engraft something? What does it mean to engraft something? Make it a part of you. Something that previously was not a part of you, you now make it a part of you. That's what it means to be engrafted. And so now this has become a part of me, and because of that, I can now, I better have control of myself because this influences me in that way. Did Jesus and His Word effectively change James, the son of Zebedee? Yes, it did. It made him a better man. Made him a man that was able now to control himself. Another lesson that we learn from James, the son of Zebedee, is we have to get close to Christ, don't we? We've got to get close to Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Jesus is to be a part of us, and we are to be a part of Him. We have to get close to Jesus Christ. Friends, if we have obeyed the gospel, we are said to have been put in Him. Do we continue to walk therein? Do we walk hand in hand with Him? Or is this just something we do once a week? Because we need to make it part of our lives. For 3.5 years, when Jesus turned around, He ran over James, the son of Zebedee. Think about that for a moment. James walked so close behind Him. John walked so close behind Him. Peter walked so close behind Him. Jesus couldn't turn around without tripping. Friends, that's an example to us. That's how close we ought to want to be to our Lord. Following His footsteps. Also, just as we must affirm our commitment as James ultimately did in His sacrifice of death, we must affirm ours as well. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 16. We have to amend our character. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that we are to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are to be transformed. We are to renew our mind. In other words, friends, we can't be the same old person that I've always been. I have to allow the influence of God and His Word to change me so that I can get close to Him. We must, friend, finally, as we see in James, we must be able, encouraged. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, in other words, whatever comes our way, stand fast in the faith. Regardless of what this world, regardless of what this life may throw at us, stand fast in the faith. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Unmovable, he says. How do we do that? We've already said it. We've already seen it. We've already read it. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Acts 2 and verse 47. verse 41, verse 42, 40 through 47, that area, you look at it and you see, and they were doing what on a daily basis? They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were steadfast in fellowship. They were steadfast in breaking of bread. They were steadfast in prayers. Friends, we can be like James. We can be like James in answering the call of Jesus. We can be like James in exercising self-control. We can be like James in getting close to Christ. We can be like James in changing ourselves and molding ourselves by the Word of God and affirming our commitment unto Christ. And we can be like James in courage. If we will, but take God's Word and follow. Let's put away our Bible. Get out our song, but we're going to sing an invitation song here in just a moment. Friend, would you be like James tonight? Would you hearken unto the gospel call by putting Christ on in baptism this evening? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? That He bled and died for your sins? Would you repent, confess Him before men, and be baptized? Immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Coming in contact there with His blood so that your sins may be washed away. Would you do that this evening? Would you be like James? Friend, are you here this evening having obeyed the gospel for whatever reason? You haven't had self-control. You haven't, for whatever reason, you haven't been close to Christ, you haven't followed Him as He would have you to. Would you come home? Would you be His again? And we ask.